So I had some thoughts as to what we should talk about here, but I'm wondering if on a day when so many of us are enjoying our favorite Dolly Parton songs, connecting with the memory and the importance that she had, should we just do like, give me your favorite Dolly Parton song, 651-461-9226, and then Dan will play it. Don't give me that look. You can do it. If we have it. You can do it. Dan's like, what are you doing to me? What if I don't have it? Well, what if you do have it? We've played I Will Always Love You. Texts are coming in at 651-461-9226. Islands in the Stream with Kenny Rogers. Can you play Islands in the Stream with Kenny Rogers? One of her biggest hits was that duet. They actually toured because that song was so hot, written by the Bee Gees. This is August 1983. And this, when I think Dolly Parton, I am 8 years old in Des Plaines, Illinois. My dad has taken my mom's favorite Dolly Parton songs and recorded them on a VHS tape so she could just press play on that and have that music running through her house. And I hear, when I connect with childhood, I hear this.
Islands in the Stream, that is what we are.
I thought it was Islands in the Street, which made no sense. Like, you know, Mom, I don't even get it. Why is there an island in the middle of the street? She's like, stream. I'm like, eh? That's your opinion. I don't know. Texter says, Jolene. How big was that song? And I saw Miley Cyrus perform Jolene live at the former XL Energy Center. This song goes back. This is a 52-year-old song, the initial
Jolene,
version.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
Hmm.
Jolene, Jolene.
Olivia Newton-John, The White Stripes, Miley, Pentatonix won a Grammy with this song. Beyonce, remember the Beyonce version of this song? Change the lyrics, change the production. But this is like OG, early Dolly Parton. Texter's coming in. Yeah, that Dolly and Miley Cyrus Jolene duet was special. Texter says it's 5:15 and we all just got done working. So you know what song you have to play from the Dolly Parton canon.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit.
So good. There's no doubt that, you know, all the think pieces are going to come out over the next couple days, right? How, and I can already imagine all these headlines, and people have already been squirting them out of themselves like this afternoon, right? Dolly Parton, feminist icon. Dolly Parton, unifier. Dolly Parton, philanthropist. And the philanthropy, to me, is where I really feel like part of the love for her is that, one, she was so accessible so early. To have a star in that era, talking about getting a boob job and talking about having fake fingernails and talking about fake blonde. It just wasn't done. It was so disarming, right? And today's celebrities do an absolute, like, low-rent imitation of that, where you try to let your fans in on your, who you really are. No, that Dolly was just letting it rip like that, which was just shocking at the time. Who talked about having a boob job in the 80s? Nobody. Now, Andrew pointing out that the tickets for the new Dolly Broadway show are going to sell out in a second. The magic, and there are certain people that you know that they're in on the joke. Dolly Parton played the role of the dumb blonde because she was not dumb. She was playing that role. She knew what she was doing. She was the flamboyant, out there person who also had been with her husband for almost 60 years before he died last year. I don't know. It's pretty cool stuff. I'm saying that all these think pieces are going to come out, and also I'm going to read them all. Because I don't know about you guys, but don't you hunger for that type of person where you're like, Dolly Parton donated $1 million in the early days of COVID to Vanderbilt University to develop a COVID vaccine to help in that search? Well, I mean, it's amazing. Hundreds of millions of free books have been distributed all over Minnesota, all over America, all over the world because of her nonprofit. I mean, this is what we should all be doing. We, not all of us can start a nonprofit. Not all of us can donate $1 million to develop some life-saving technology. But you can do something. You can do something outside of yourself to make the world better. And that's, I think that's part of it. Let's break. In a minute, I want to spend a little bit of time on inconsequential grievances. I feel like if you were following my social media today, before the news of Dolly Parton's death, today I was engaging in my favorite type of complaint, low stakes. So I may sound like I'm at an 11 on these issues, but it's about a 2. It's the fun stuff. We'll do that when we come back. Playing Dolly Parton songs throughout the show today. In our first hour, we had a conversation with a country music radio Hall of Famer who told a really touching story about the time she met Dolly Parton. And that is available on podcast. So wherever you get podcasts, just search Drive Time with DeRussia. We'd love it if you give us a subscription there. You just click follow and it'll download all our updates for you. And you don't even really need to listen to them. If you just click on them every once in a while, it would make the data look really good for us. So that would be fine. Is that fine, Dan? I don't know how this all works.
I don't either. So, yeah. If that
just
that,
click it.
That clicks the clicker and gets the numbers to the right people.
You can turn the audio off. You don't really need to listen. On Facebook, Tina says her favorite Dolly Parton song is A Coat of Many Colors. May she rest in peace, a beautiful woman. Tina.
My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me.
Pretty cool. That's actually a really powerful song. If you listen to the lyrics, good stuff. All right, low stakes arguments. This morning I get an email, and in the Enough segment on Wednesdays, Dan, one of the common things that people will say they've had enough of is the request for feedback. We live in a country that corporate America is constantly asking for us to fill out a survey and share our feedback, and they couldn't give two craps about your feedback is sort of the vibe I get. The one that makes me laugh the most is Caribou Coffee. And I love Caribou Coffee. Mm-hmm. I love you guys. The other day, their light roast at Caribou, and I just like coffee. I go to Caribou Coffee and get coffee. They make their money on everybody getting the, you know, foam.
Caramel high rise is my order, yeah.
Yeah, they're making money off you.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're making money off me, you know?
Just not as much.
Not as much, right. Yeah. I'm paying $3.50, but they had the La Minita Peaberry, I think.
Excuse me?
For the light roast.
Do I have to hit the dump button?
It's delicious. Before the cup of coffee was handed to me, I had an email asking to rate my experience. I don't even know yet.
Yeah. Let me finish the coffee first.
Can't the computer geniuses at Caribou, like, build in a two-minute delay, right? Like, I get it. They ring it up. Boom. It's linked to my rewards number or whatever.
Yeah, but there should still be a way to set
a little
timer
delay
on it. Yeah.
Anyway, so today... Today I got what I would say is the most laughable request for a survey, and it came from Sun Country. Here's what the email said. We're always looking for ways to make travel feel easier, from planning the trip to settling into your seat. This 30-minute survey is powered by our research partner, LEK. But it's really about learning more from you, how you travel, what you value, and what would make the experience better. So at this point, I'm like, do I get a free flight?
Where's the $100 flight voucher? Yeah.
I mean, what am I getting for being your...
Remember those days? Remember the salad days when companies would actually offer you a little spiff for filling out the survey? That's gone.
Nothing. Your feedback will help shape what comes next. Thanks for taking the time to share it.
No.
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 You're welcome.
For nothing.
I'm not doing it. I believe it should be illegal. Punishable by, I don't know, public stoning, perhaps.
Oh, you know who?
But you shouldn't be able to, corporate America should not be able to send out a survey that doesn't include payment.
This sounds like a Senator Klobuchar issue. Doesn't this? I mean, that's right in her wheelhouse.
Oh, we should make a top 10 Amy Klobuchar for governor issues.
This
banning surveys.
Yep.
Banning questions at the gas pump when the temperature is below 20 degrees.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
If you ask, do you want a car wash when it's sub-zero, we're going to yank a pump out of the ground.
Yeah. Speaking of car wash, that's what I thought of when you started talking about surveys, because where I used to enjoy the survey was you were kind enough to buy me a car wash subscription. So every time I'd go to the car wash, you'd get a survey.
Yes, I got
survey text. And I used to really enjoy that because I knew it got to you because you would then screenshot it and send it to me like, hey, did you enjoy your car wash?
Right.
And I knew that's how I knew it bugged you. And now the other day I go to the car wash, and now I'm getting them.
Yeah.
Well, that's I don't want that. It's supposed to go to you. Why is it coming to me?
The one that annoys me the most is from the garbage company, from WM, formerly Waste Management. You just picked up my trash can. Like, I have no feedback to share.
Another Senator Klobuchar issue is the backup beeping of the Waste Management trucks that goes on for 20 minutes. You know, 4 or 5 beeps is enough.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, get out of the way in 4 or 5 beats, I'm sorry, that's on you.
I started to fill out a survey once for Lunds and Byerly's because I really like the people that work there. And I was like, I want to send that feedback. And so I started filling out the survey.
And guess what that got you?
Well, then it asked for another question.
Yeah, it did.
And then another page. Yep. And you keep answering, and they're like, could you expand on that?
Yeah.
Like, no! You get like a text box. That's the newest game on these things. You start filling out, and it's like, not enough words. Like, screw you, not enough words. All right, we're going to break. In a minute.
Maybe that's what you do next time. is just like in all caps, just tell them why their surveys are dumb. Survey. Yeah.
It's just so upsetting. All right. We're going to break in a minute. This week, rightly so, Minnesota is refocusing on the horrors that happened on August 27th at Annunciation Church and school. But for the families who had students in that church, they never had the luxury of changing the topic or turning their focus away. The Minnesota Star Tribune masterfully shared four families' video diaries. And the video journalist who paved the way and started those conversations to build the trust to tell those stories is going to join us in just a minute. If you haven't seen this yet at StarTribune.com, it's worth subscribing to the Star Tribune to see this project alone. It is that powerful, and it's that important. We'll talk to the video journalist in just a minute.